So, hi, good evening. Look at that. Good Saturday evening. I'm getting the hang of it. We're meeting on Saturday evenings now. It is good to have you here. Hi, we just celebrated the 4th of July, Independence Day. And we do that annually because we live in a free world. But let's just stop for a second and think about that phrase, free world. Is the world really free? We walk as Christians, and we come to understand a different kind of freedom. And as we embrace the freedom in Christ, we recognize that there's actually a freedom that the world has misrepresented as being available through what we're presented on a day-to-day basis as we live out in the world and we work out in the world, but that really is only available through Jesus Christ. Now, some people might think that when we talk about Christ's freedom, that that's an oxymoron. It's like, how can you have freedom if you've given yourself to follow someone or to follow a God? How is there freedom in that? Because aren't you giving up your own control? But that is not a contradiction in terms. And I actually want to look at that today and look at Christ's freedom and kind of unpack it a little bit so that we can more fully understand the freedom that we gain by living in Christ. So I want to let you know that if you got a program as you came in or got one once you came in, there's sermon notes inside. If you enjoy taking notes, we give you a piece of paper to do that on. And so you can take notes as we go through some scripture. Are you guys ready to look at scripture and look at our freedom? Yeah? Yeah, yeah. Let's hear. Yeah. Let's get started. Ready to get started? Yeah. All right, let's do that. So we're going to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And this is actually, I'm bringing it to you from the New International Version, which I don't usually preach from. I usually preach from New Living Translation. But this is New International Version. And it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So let's go through this verse. It was written to Paul, by Paul, to the Christians in Galatia. And his first statement is, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ has really set us free. Now, in another place, in the book of John, this is what Christ says. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Those are Christ's words. You are truly free. What exactly does that mean? It also says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, and these are from New Living Translation, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There's a connection there between the Son, who is setting us free, and the Spirit. Because wherever the Spirit is, there is freedom. Now, Jesus Christ came to earth to break our bondage from having to be tied to the law and just doing everything exactly right, which people couldn't do, from the sacrifices to pay for sin. So Jesus came and he said, "I'm coming because I'm giving you freedom." And then what we read in 2 Corinthians, this is after Christ returned to heaven. What we read is that wherever the Spirit is, there is freedom. Now, where does the Spirit reside here on earth now? Within us. So there's the connection between how Christ gives us freedom and we become free because we say, yeah, to a relationship with Jesus. And he says, "Here you go. Here's my Spirit. And it's going to dwell within you, and you will truly know what freedom is. Sometimes it feels like suddenly you're free, especially when you first discover a relationship with Jesus and you first start working that relationship and understanding who he is and really what you're made for and what your purpose is. There's a feeling of freedom. I experienced it when I first became a Christian at 25. That was indescribable. There's hardly words to describe it. But that freedom grows from there. And a lot of times it goes from an emotion and just an excitement to our experiences with God over time that builds our faith. Our traditions, the things that we do and the things that we value as Christians. Our knowledge, the knowledge that we gain because we become more and more and more immersed in who God is and what he says to us. And we meet together at times like this to say, let's dig into one verse of the Bible and see what it has to say. What does Christ do for us? He brings us freedom. He said so himself, that when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And it is wherever the Spirit dwells that we have freedom. I find that lately I've had a question that's come to me from several different angles. And this question, I'm just going to phrase it in my own words, but it's basically, so if we're free in Jesus, then why are there still rules? I think what happens with this is that we get mixed up between what religion is and what relationship is. There's a difference between religion and relationship. Religion is manageable because it is just a list of rules. The Jewish people were religious. Many people around the world are religious. They are dedicated to a religion. And it's rigid. And there's rules to follow. And if you don't follow them, there's not grace. There's judgment and condemnation. We know from the verses that we just looked at, how the Son sets us free and how wherever the Spirit is, there's freedom, that what's being discussed there is this thing called grace. It's not something that we earn through what we do. So that's the first distinction that we need to put in our head, is that this journey with God through Christ and a relationship with the Father and being empowered by the Holy Spirit is not just about religion. Because religion becomes manageable for us because it's a list of rules. And a lot of times we like religion. We fall easily into religion because we can control it. There's rules to follow. You break the rules. You do X, Y, Z, or you go, I don't know what you do exactly. Maybe you just hide it. That's probably more likely. But we like it because it gives us some sort of control. Relationship, however, is what Jesus desires and came to bring to us. And relationship is different because God's standards, that's the choice of my word, but God's standards come from his intimate knowledge of how we thrive best. Let me explain that for just a moment. God created humans. He knows us intimately. He made us in his very image. He breathed his own breath into us. Now, God is perfect, and Jesus became a man, and he lived as a human. And it was different being on earth because, you know, the free world versus the freedom in the kingdom. But really, it probably wasn't all that different for him to put skin on, because we were made in his image. So he came down to earth as Jesus, as a human being, yet in the image of God that he already was. God can blow your mind sometimes. It's kind of a mystery. But the thing about relationship with God, and the reason that he has certain things he asks of us, is because he knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what's going to make us thrive. And it's not a set of rules. It's a relationship with him that changes us over time. It's entering into this journey with him, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that allows us to make mistakes sometimes and to learn as we go along. You don't expect a little child to know how to walk right when they're born. Now, you expect maybe a baby deer or a baby horse, but not a human being. There's development that happens with human beings. They're helpless when they are babies. They need milk until they grow, and we help to nurture them. And then eventually, they're eating grown-up food. Now, the Bible speaks of new Christians in the same way. They're babies, and milk is needed. Nurturing is needed, and they're not going to know everything. We're not going to know everything, but we're going to grow up, and we're going to be able to take in more and more and more of God, be nourished with bigger concepts, bigger ideas. But all of us, all of it is undergirded by grace and a relationship with him. And when we are feeling convicted that something is in our life that's becoming more important than him, or that we're, I've spent the last couple of days at the beach, and I've gotten to know a woman there. I only see her once a year, but we're getting pretty close. And, you know, she confided in me, and she's like, you know what? I'm addicted to television. I can't leave my house hardly ever. I'm addicted to television. Okay, so that's something that God is convicting her of. What is she to do with that? And so you take those things, and it's not like God then says, well, here's the rules to follow to break that, and you're, you know, get yourself right, slap, slap, slap. Don't tell your fellow believers because they're going to think bad of you. No, it's not like that at all. It's like, confess to me what you need. Confess to each other what's going on in your life. You're going to find grace. You're going to find the ability, once you bring it into the light, which the Bible talks about, a lot of things are hidden in the darkness. Oh, a lot of things are hidden in the darkness. And as we grow in our Christian walk, we are more able to bring things into the light. And a lot of that has to do with Jesus building a relationship with us to the point where we can trust him. But the foundation of it doesn't change. When the Son sets you are free indeed. This is not at all a future statement. It doesn't say when you get your life together, when you do grow up, when you figure out that God has the better plan for you and stop making your own choices, then you'll be free. It doesn't say that at all. It says when the Son sets you free, you are free. Are you free? Yeah, are you free? Yeah, are you free? We are free indeed because the Son sets us free, and then we're free to develop a relationship, to grow closer to our God. The second part of our focus verse today, which is, again, Galatians 5:1, let me read it again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We've talked about that. Says, stand firm then. Stand firm then. So in the New Living Translation, it says, make sure to stay free. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? That's a little different way of looking at it. Make sure to stay free. Intimate relationships need to be cultivated by both parties. And that's what God wants with us. That's the difference between religion and relationship. There's an intimacy that builds. It builds with time, with years, with hanging out with other people who have a similar relationship, talking about it, bouncing things off back and forth. You know, I feel like God told me this thing, and it's directing me this way. What do you think? Well, let's look. Let's look and see what Scripture says. Is there anything in the Bible that would say that lines up with what God would do for you? I mean, those kind of conversations are conversations that we can have with other believers, and that grows our intimacy with God. But who else does that grow our intimacy with? Each other. We begin growing together. God didn't make us to be isolated. In fact, God himself, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, they had this great small group. And they decided they wanted to expand their small group. And they added human to it. And they're expanded, their small group. And they continue expanding it. And we're all part of that now. And that's what we want to do is to make sure that in our hearts, we're understanding it's not rules we have to follow, although there are things that God knows is best for us, but really, it's about a relationship, and that needs to be nurtured. So there's a few things that we can do, but it actually begins with the things that God does first. And that's the cool thing about a relationship with God is that we don't have to be preemptive. We don't have to figure out what he wants from us first and then hope we get it right. He's leading us. It's not on our shoulders. And that gives this huge sense of freedom when we actually recognize that. I've been feeling a lot of responsibility the last few days. I'm going to be going out of town on Thursday, and I'm going to be gone for 10 days, and that's a long time to be gone. And there's things like making sure the programs are ready and making sure, I mean, I have a list of people I have to call and things that have to be backed up correctly. And man, you can get so wrapped up in things that worry you that this job or position I have, which actually my job description is to equip you all in your growth in Jesus Christ. When I get wrapped up in those kind of details, I don't feel free. I feel shackled. And so I have to turn my mind back to relationship. And I did that, in fact, this afternoon. I had worked on my sermon, I'd looked my sermon over, and I was sitting on the couch going through the list of things I need to do, and I thought, you know what? I haven't read my devotional part of my Bible today. I didn't do that because I spent time in the Word, but I didn't do it just for me, just my relationship with God. So that's one thing that God does for us. He gives us his word. He gives us the Bible. And we can get to know him and his character and his desires and the history. History is so interesting to me. The history in the Old Testament of how this whole relationship thing, oh my gosh, it's an incredible dance and incredible warring and incredible fighting and incredible love. I mean, it's a passionate story, the history of God's pursuit of his people. And then we get to the New Testament and we read so much about what God desires. And not only what he desires, but what he's already given us. And then we can claim it like, yeah, I'm free. Even when we don't feel free, even when our to-do list is 3 miles long, we can stop ourselves and say, wait, it's not on my shoulders. It's God taking care of it. The other thing that he does and he gives us, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And that's what gives us that guidance when we turn to that Holy Spirit. And another thing is a community of believers. The community of believers is actually vital to our development. I do want to mention here, I was going to mention it later, but let me just mention here that tomorrow's next Sunday, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to have our final birthday dinner celebration. We've been doing it for the last 12 months, but some people haven't been able to make it, and so since it's the last one, everybody who has ever had a birthday in the last 365 days are invited to come. And it's going to be at Dan and Joanne Elsner's house. And look at that. There's a slide up there right now. There's an RSVP there. They do want to know how many people are coming. If you have your pens and your papers out and you want to come, go ahead and RSVP there. I also have a phone number that I can give you, so touch base with me or Joanne or Dan after church so that we can come together as a community of believers. You know what's awesome and fun is to get together outside of this room. It's cool to get together inside this room because inside this room, we've set apart time to worship God. We worship Him through song. And then we worship Him by digging deeper into His Word. And then we worship Him expressively through different ways that the Holy Spirit moves within us. This time is God's time. It is set apart for Him. That's why we come to church. That's why we come together. There's also fellowship involved. But fellowshipping outside of this once a week is really fun. And really cool, and you get to know each other in a more deeper, intimate way. Oh, there's that word again. Developing the intimacy in relationships. So feel free to come tomorrow. They live in Aloha, and it'll be fun. So God gives us those things, and then we get to do things back, like we get to read the Bible, and we get to pray, we get to talk to Him, and God actually talks to us. Did you know that God talks to you? I've also been asked the question or been told by people, I don't hear from God. I don't hear from Him. I don't know what you mean when you say God speaks to you. That's something, that's a learned gift as well. Do you ever just have someone pop into your head out of nowhere? Their name just comes into your head and you think, man, I haven't thought of that person for months. And then you just kind of dismiss it. It's like, huh, that was kind of weird. Or maybe you have a dream at night, and this person is in your dream, and you're thinking, huh, I wonder where that came from. You know what that is? Oftentimes, that is God talking to you. And He's putting that person in your mind because He would like you to touch that person's life. He would like you to pick up the phone, message them on Facebook, send them a text. God can communicate with you in those ways. They can communicate with us in those ways, and sometimes we don't understand it. Last week, I was talking about the opportunities God gives us. There's opportunities all the time for us. We can be in the line at a coffee shop I mentioned last week. No, I didn't. I mentioned that somewhere else. I'm sorry. I've been doing prayers for the National Prayer Ministry because I'm part of that ministry. And starting next Sunday in Orlando, Florida, the entire denomination is getting together and we're going to do 2 days of a prayer summit followed by general conference. And so I've been doing prayers online for the National Prayer Conference. And so one of the things I was talking about was the opportunities that we can have throughout our life that, so I was praying for those of us traveling to Florida and just saying, let us not get so tied up in, you know, some people have red-eye flights or the time change and the jet lag. Let us not get so caught up in thinking, we just got to get there to be with other Christians and, you know, do our business and then be happy when we hang out. Let's make sure that along the journey, we are taking the opportunities that God's going to put before us. Put someone in the seat next to us on the airplane that it's just the right time in their life to have a conversation. That's how God speaks to us. He's going to put someone by me on the airplane, and I'm going to do my best to be like normal on the airplane this time. But maybe that person will be just who I need, or I'll be the person that they need. It's not always that we have something that we have to like give out. Oh, here you go, you poor little soul that's lost. No, God created everybody and he loves us all. And Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And so we need to look at everyone through the eyes of Jesus Christ. He created us all. And we can get things from people, pre-believers, because we believe that the Holy Spirit works in people's lives before they actually come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we are told to stand firm is what this next part in the scripture in Galatians 5:1 told us. Stand firm then. There's this verse in Ephesians 6 that I'm now getting to that says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Pray, church. Pray. We are a praying church. We have dug into prayer. We have committed to prayer. I want to thank those of you who have let me know that you were watching the videos for the National Prayer Ministry and that you are praying for this general conference that is coming up. We are part of a denomination called Free Methodists, and we have pastors in local churches, we have superintendents over conferences, and then we have bishops over parts of the world. This is the first time in the history of our denomination that's over 150 years old that has ever had all three bishops retire at the same time and be electing three new bishops. It is monumental, this meeting that is coming up. There is business that will be taken care of, but we want the business to be God's business. And so pray, pray, continue to pray. We got some new prayer rocks. You know how we carry prayer rocks around with us and we try to take pictures of them when we're out and about? If you have not gotten a prayer rock, there's prayer rocks on the back table and Gail has one in her hand right now. So make sure you stop by there and pick up a prayer rock, or if you've lost your prayer rock or if you need one for work because you have one at home, whatever it is, I want us to keep prayer in front of us. That's of utmost importance that we pray. So, General Conference is coming up. The National Prayer Ministry is coming up. We have three people who are going on a mission trip, and they will not leave until a week from Wednesday and Thursday. But I would ask that you all keep them in your prayers. It's Tia Brandstetter, Gail Zimmerman, and April Brackett, who are going to be going to the Dominican Republic. And Gail and April are returning again. Gail's been going for 5 years. This is April's second year, and Tia's first year. So please be in prayer for them, because they're going to be doing some cool stuff in the Dominican Republic. They're going to go to General Conference the last couple of days, and then they're going to jet off to the Dominican Republic, which I guess isn't very far away from Orlando. So there's things that are happening that we as a group, as a family, can send people off. You know, we have the Ray of Hope Family Home in Uganda that Tom and Bev Ecker started. That's a place for kids who don't have the ability to go to school, don't have the ability to have good food, don't have the ability to have a home. A lot of them are orphaned. And they are being cared for by people who love them. And they need prayer, because the enemy doesn't like the work that's being done. He doesn't like the fact that these kids are being brought in off the street. He doesn't like the fact that they're being given shoes, maybe for the first time in their life, and these shoes are so constructed in such a cool way that they grow with the kid, so the kid's going to have shoes for several years. I mean, there's things that are happening that are awesome. These are ministries that impact our church. And we get to be a part of that. We get to partner with God and see the freedom we experience because we have the Holy Spirit, and because Jesus said, if you are set free, if you know me, you are set free, and I promise you freedom, no doubt about it. And we have these opportunities to see other people touched with freedom. We have a couple of people here that attend our church, the president and the vice president of the Tualatin Valley Gleaners Association. And they've been doing this work for dozens of years, a long time, a couple decades, I think at least, maybe longer. And next week during testimony time, those of you who were here last week, you noticed that we had a missionary here that shared during testimony time instead of having open mic. Well, next week during testimony time, Heather, who's the president of the association, is going to share. Because Gleaners is our community partner. And I've talked about the Gleaners for a few years. We've been partnered with them. But I've also talked about St. Child, so you guys remember those. And I would say, these are our actions. These are where we do our actions. Well, St. Child's has had some changes happening, and they don't seem to need the kind of help that we were offering before, which is awesome. The same thing happened with Medical Teams International. They were like, hey, we have so many groups now volunteering, we don't even have a time slot for you. So that tells us, okay, there's something new that God wants us to do. But I don't think that I've done the greatest job of describing just what Gleaners is about. It's about giving a hand up, not just a hand out, but they are feeding people every week that would not otherwise have food. And they're loving them, and they're helping them learn about our culture because most of them are refugees. And so Heather's going to share next week. But that's something else to pray about. That's something else to realize that we are part of as a church. We are called to action, to put our faith to action. And why is that? Because that's God's heart for people. His heart is that they be loved. And he says that truly what religion is relationship. But it's making sure that we care for the orphans and the widows, that that's going to be the proof of truly having a relationship with Christ that's changed you, that has set you free. That's what we're told. And we have these opportunities to partner in our own building, in our own family, and then beyond, and to see the freedom, true freedom, Christ's freedom, not the world's freedom, make a difference around the world. You know, I saw a quote, or I heard it recently, that faith is expressed by exercising love toward others. Faith is expressed by exercising love toward others. So as our faith is built, as we grow, as we mature, we are going to find ourselves having this desire within us to exercise the love towards others. I was hearing recently statistics that 95% of financial wealth is in the USA, and 95% of the people in need are outside of our country. Granted, we have those in need in our country as well. I also just wanted to mention, 2 days in a row this week, I got calls from people who needed help, rental assistance help. And you guys know that we keep that benevolence fund full, and we're able to do that once again. There's people's lives who we are touching here, and there's people's lives who we are blessed. There's no other word. Because of our freedom, we are able to help other people step out of their bondage and experience freedom. The Oregon Conference. So we are church in Oregon under the Oregon Conference, and there's 25 churches in Oregon that are Free Methodist churches. And this particular conference is one of the 5 fastest growing conferences in worldwide support. There's a heart that we share with the others around Oregon that say, hey, our faith is going to be that thing that is expressed by exercising our love toward others. And that is part of what is included in standing firm. You are set free in Christ. Stand firm. It means to stand in your faith and exercise it. And we have the ability to do that. It's not passive in any way, shape, or form. The Holy Spirit is not passive. The Holy Spirit is active. And it's guiding us and leading us. So again, our verse on freedom today is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. And the last part of the verse says, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Again, New International Version, not what I normally share, but I think that most of us, or a lot of us, know this verse in that version. The New Translation, New Living Translation, puts it this way: don't get tied up again in slavery. Don't get tied up again in slavery. You know, we cannot simply decide to be good people and not sin anymore. The answer is not human effort. It's keeping an active, living relationship with God's Spirit. So I had shared Galatians 6 a little bit earlier about the armor of God. And kind of to wrap this up today, I just want to remind us, and some of this this might be new, and some of it might be things that we have heard before, but it tells us to therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Don't get tied up again in slavery. So how do we get tied up again in slavery? It's not a hard thing to do. Because the world says, we have freedom for you. And it's pretty easy to start listening to the things that are being offered to us by the world. And forgetting that our freedom is really found on our knees before God, in conversation with Him, in reading the Bible. And there's nothing with reading your news feed on Facebook, Reddit, tweeting things, whatever we do. It's not like we have to only, you know, lock ourselves in a small room with our Bible and only do that, and that's the only way we're not going to get tied up in slavery again. But it is harder if we're out in the world. It might be actually easier if we only had, you know, a very small space to move around our Bible, and only people talking to us about God's truth, then it wouldn't be quite as easy to get tied up in slavery. Although, you know, it says in the Bible that the battlefield is really in our minds. So a lot of it happens when we just start thinking and putting things in our head and spending time going off on rabbit trails instead of staying on the path that God gives us. So it says that we need to put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. The belt of truth, Jesus Christ is the truth, the way and the life. We put on the belt of truth when we say, hey, I know Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And I am set free in Him. That is the truth. And I will not be tied up again in slavery. And we put on the body armor of righteousness. Now, these two things, the truth and righteousness, are not things that come from us. Those are things that come from God. This is grace. Truth and righteousness is God's grace. It's not something that we possess on our very own that we have to muster up. Oh, I've got to muster up the truth. I've got to muster up righteousness, the rightness of being everything that I should be for everyone. No, this is grace. What we stand on and what we put on as far as the armor goes, first and foremost, is that we are clothed in God's grace. And the way that we look at others is that we should see them as clothed in the same grace. No matter how annoying they are clothed in the same grace. Thank you for giving me grace. I have been basically a mess for the last 9 months, and maybe before. I don't remember a lot before. You all could tell me. But you know what? You're still standing beside me, and you're still saying, she doesn't always say things right. She doesn't always do things right. I'm not wearing my sweater because I have a hole in the shoulder, and I didn't even know it till I got here, right? I'm confessing that, yeah, I'm not always got it together. But I thank you for that. I thank you for looking at me and saying, I'm going to see you clothed in grace because I'm clothed in grace. Because every person that God has created, he says, I want to clothe you in my grace. So that's the first part of the armor. And then it says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Basically, walk in peace. Don't walk in defensiveness. Don't walk in offensiveness. Walk in the good news. Neither one of those are defensive or offensive. They are just peace bringing. Be clothed in grace and walk in peace, because then you're going to be ready to share the good news at any time. Then it says, in addition to this, hold on to the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. There are going to be attacks, there are going to be temptations, and there's going to be sin. We have been praying fervently. We've been called to prayer. Interestingly, the church whose building we rent are also focusing on prayer this year. Okay, so what that does is tremendous. God answers prayer. We see salvations, we see healings, we see people being blessed. The other side of that is that the enemy does attack. And New Vision has never been afraid to say we are going to step up to the front lines. We are going to put our faith to action. We are going to express it by loving other people. And when we pray, we threaten the enemy. And the attacks come. And I'm experiencing that the last few days. And I keep having to remind myself things like, you're traveling to Orlando. You're bringing prayers right now to hundreds of people who are praying before the general conference. You're going there representing Oregon. These things Satan doesn't like. He wants it to stop. And each one of you also have things that you're doing in your life that Satan would rather you not do, especially when you are clothed in grace and walking in peace. He's going to try to put a trip line out there so that you fall. But we have a shield of faith that's part of our armor. And it will extinguish all the fiery darts of the enemy. Believe in the truth of Jesus Christ. And believe that you are truly set free. And stay untethered, and don't fall again into temptation. However, if you do, what happens? You get on your knees. You get on your knees as you're standing up again, and you're going to look at yourself, and you're going to find that you're still clothed in grace and walking in peace. That doesn't fall off of you every time you trip and fall. We continue going ahead. We confess what we've done. We talk to other people. If we find out we've been hurting other people or harming other people, or we forgive the people that have hurt us or harmed us, and we experience that freedom yet again. Put on the helmet, salvation as your helmet. This is your assurance of your standing in Christ. Remember, the battlefield is mainly going to be in our minds. So let's put on the assurance of our salvation, your right standing with Christ. And then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God brings truth, and the truth will set you free. And then it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Now, part of the growth that comes by applying the word here at New Vision is that we do next steps. And if you've been taking sermon notes, you'll notice on the bottom that there's a place for next steps, but also on your connection card, there's a place for next steps. And these give you opportunities to say, huh, God spoke some things to me today, and I think there's next steps that he wants me to take. And usually when I preach, I throw some next steps up on the screen, but there might be something that God spoke to you that's totally different than this. And you can write them down on your sermon notes and take them home just to remind yourself of them. You can write them on your connection card if you just want a little bit of accountability. This is what I'm choosing to take away from me, with me. So the next steps today are that I will look to Jesus for freedom. It is easy to forget that we are free when we start hearing from Satan about how messed up we are. When we start looking at all the things we have to do, we forget we are free. I'm going to look to Jesus for freedom. And then I'll continue my commitment to prayer and cultivating godly relationships. Committed to prayer and cultivating godly relationships. Well, that has to do with just walking in who we are made to be in the image of Christ. Our relationship with God and our relationship with others and even our relationship with ourselves. We recognize what God says about us and how he made us and the grace by which we are covered. Take hold of that. Make it real and true in your life. And then I'll clothe myself in this armor of God daily. I don't always remember to do that. I don't always remember just how outfitted I am to be God's child. And how outfitted I am to do his work. How outfitted I am to pray his heart and to expect his answers. And how outfitted I am when I start feeling those attacks. When things start going wrong, when I don't keep track of my balance in my checkbook and there's things being transferred from savings again with a $3 ding every time. Seriously, that happened a few months ago. It's like, oh my gosh, yeah. There's stuff that happens and I don't always remember when I start then beating myself up. Because, man, if I would have just looked online, I could have, you know, transferred money myself for free. And those arrows just start coming at you. Look at how badly you're managing things and, you know. A lot of things, a lot of lies will be said to you in your head, in your thoughts, about just how crummy and worthless you are sometimes. And those are not true at all. And when we clothe ourselves in the armor of God, we have that shield of faith. And they will extinguish those arrows that come our way. So now we're going to move into our worship through response. And what that is for the couple of minutes at the beginning of this, we are just going to listen to some background music playing, just a pad playing. Just sit with God, sit with these next steps, and be in his presence in a form of worship. Let me pray and we will do that. Lord, I want to thank you for, wow, just your word and just your freedom that we can see ourselves for who we really are, which are grace-covered, Holy Spirit-filled people. And then we can look around the world and see that you have created individuals who are so in your likeness that we have no choice but to want to love every one of them. That it's not an us and them. It's just an us. Help us to love people right into the kingdom, Lord, and right into relationship with you. Help us to share what we've found. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to us now. Wrap us up in your Holy Spirit, and in your warmth, and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.